On today's Garnet Community Podcast, I'm delighted to be joined by Christoph Lamming, who works at the University of Cambridge in the lab with Ian Henderson. And we're talking about a paper just published in The Plant Cell, the title of which is Interacting Genomic Landscapes of Recce, Cohesin, Chromatin and Meiotic Recombination in Arabidopsis thaliana. So it's a Plant Cell paper, so there's a lot of data involved, 9 big figures and then lots of supplementals there. So thanks very much, Christoph, for doing this today. It'll be great if you can give us an overview of what you did.
Well, thank you for the invitation. So the idea of that paper was to investigate recombination during meiosis in Arabidopsis. And an interesting aspect of meiosis is that the genome will be passed on to the next generations. The very surprising aspect of meiosis is that it accumulates a lot of DNA damage. And there would be a partner choice decision for every single of this DNA damage. And if you have to decide between being repaired using the sister chromatid or the chromatid from the homologous chromosomes, then all the pattern genetic information is quite important to create new combination of allele and create genetic diversity within the population level. So now we know quite a bit about the recombination from some of the past paper, and we know that recombination is repressed over cis perisantromeric heterochromatic regions. Mm-hmm. But we don't really know what is the chromatin mediator that could be potentially regulating recombinations. So we extended this study and we decided to do a chip sequencing approach on a meiotic cohesin component called RECADE. And we think we have uncovered new relationship between RECADE cohesin, the chromatin status, transcriptions, and recombinations, which could potentially explain why recombination is repressed over the perisantromeric heterochromatin regions.
You're looking specifically at RECADE, but in order to do this, you need to isolate a particular tissue type, and I know that's quite challenging part of the work. So can you say about what tissues you used for this analysis?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the challenges of working in Arabidopsis meiosis, is that there's a lot of somatic nursing cells surrounding this myocyte, and we don't really have a good technique to isolate only the myocyte at the moment. So we had to select RECADE, which we know is a myotic-specific protein, so any DNA coming down from this RECADE pull-down assay would be myotic-specific components. Mm-hmm. That's one of the ways we have to specifically look at DNA molecule from myocyte. We also have to start with quite a large amount of blood tissue. And what we focus on is mostly male myosis because we know there is a large number of male myocytes in inflorescence, while there's very little female myocytes. So we also focus on the male part of recombinations.
I see. So, and I think anyone who's worked at the Arabidopsis can understand it might be painful, the amount of tissue. So 10 grams of flower buds that are needed for this the chip experiment. So you did the chip experiment with the RECA, and then, as you said, you looked at where the RECA then is associated, and mostly you found that it associates with heterochromatin region. What did that tell you about the function of the RECA during this recombination?
So we first observed an enrichment of RECADE over the heterochromatin. But what was more striking was the negative correlation between RECADE and recombinations, both at the chromosome scale, but also at the fine scale. And so, for example, if you look at the recombination hotspot in the arm region of the chromosomes, we still see depletion of RECADE cohesin, which led us to think that perhaps RECADE has a role in repressing recombinations. We know that RECADE is important for compacting to chromatins and forming chromatin loop structure under which recombination takes place. And perhaps the large amount of RECADE over the heterochromatin could disfavor recombination to take place by compacting to chromatin.
As we also know, a function of heterochromatin is that it have a particular chromatin mark. So did you look at the relationship between where RECADE binds and the chromatin marks, kind of to say which comes first, if you can say that? Does the chromatin mark or the RECADE?
Yeah, that's a very, very interesting question, which one comes first. So some data in fissionists suggests that canine methylations is required for recruiting RECADE over these centromeric regions. And so we decided to repeat the chip sec of RECADE in a triple mutant called cryptonite CVH5-CVH6 in Arabidopsis, where canine dimethylation is absent. And quite intriguingly, we still observe a large amount of RECADE all over the heterochromatic region. So that is the difference with fusionists. But in some DNA transposon elements, what we did see was a local reductions of RACAID, and particularly on cyscopia RNA transposons. We saw a depletion of RACAID and elevation of recombinations. And that was associated with reactivations and transcriptions of these transposon elements.
Okay, yeah, so in the paper you show there's a clear difference between RNA transposers and DNA transposons. And so can you say something about the function of those?
Yeah, the DNA element and the RNA element have a very different way of moving around in the genomes. Okay. And the RNA element need transcriptions. And I think that's why they are heavily silenced, in order that they stop them from moving around. Mm. And when we remove canine dimethylations, we do see transcriptions over these elements. And this is associated with a gain of recombination and a change of RACAID cohesin.
So you mentioned transcription. So I think when a lot of people think about meiosis, we think of the chromosomes coming together and this very static process that they're pulled apart. But of course, there's constant transcription going. Of course, you have to keep the cell going, even though you're going through meiosis or mitosis. Well, you looked at the relationship between RECate and transcription. And what can you say about transcriptionally active areas versus the positions where RECate is found?
Yeah, we think transcription is influencing RECate occupancy. And for example, when we compare the gene that are the most highly transcribed, we see a depletion of RACAID, and RACAID is mostly polarized towards the end of the gene. And this is a pattern also observed for nucleosome, for example, where people think that nucleosome is either evicted when the transcription machinery is moving along, or the nucleosome is pushed towards the end of the gene, and again, depending on the transcription machinery. And we do see a similar pattern with RACAID. Mm-hmm. And when we look at the gene that are the least transcribed, there's an accumulation of RACAID all over the gene body.
So obviously this work is in Arabidopsis, but you say you have some comparisons with yeast and also some mouse work as well. So what have you found in this paper that allows you to say about the differences between these systems? Now, fundamentally, meiosis is the same, but you know there are obviously slight differences in the way these different organisms go about this process.
Yeah, we don't actually know very much about RACAID. So in mice, is mostly looking at somatic cohesin. In yeast, RACAID is recruited at the centromere, and this is kinetochore dependent. In a fusionist, is canine dimethylation dependent. Mm-hmm. But fusionist pericentromeric region is very, very different from the Arabidopsis and other higher karyotic centromeric regions. The pericentromeric region of the fusionist are quite simple, I would say, while Arabidopsis are a lot more repetitive elements, and there is a lot more silencing epigenetic mark. For example, DNA mutations is there. Mm-hmm. There are different histone variants, different histone modifications. And we think that all these silencing epigenetic marks are helping RACAID to be recruited over this pericentromere. And mm-hmm. so removing canine dimethylation by itself isn't enough to lose a large amount of RACAID cohesin, while in fusionists, this seems to be enough.
I see. I guess, as we kind of alluded to, the question about whether the chromatin marks were there first, RECAID was there first, that we haven't really good handle on that, but maybe that's something you can look to in the future.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. There's clearly some differences between yeast and higher karyotic species in the way that the silence particular part of the genomes. Mm-hmm. Seems a little more complicated in Arabidopsis. And the problem with answering this question is that the more we start to remove silencing mark and the more we lose cohesin, we also start to lose the genomic stability, and the plant isn't doing very well at all and become unfertile, so it becomes difficult to look at offsprings.
So a final question, more about the future work. So I know that the Henderson Labs looks a lot about recombination and meiosis, and you've done work with another protein called SPO11, which is kind of involved in regions of recombination, and by overexpressing SPO11, you can look to get more recombination within across the genome. Are you working with RECAID to see if you can modify recombination rates as well?
We are currently looking at whether RECAID gene is somehow dosage dependent.
Okay.
And we are also looking at other genes involved in this chromatin from the Maxis formations. And the idea is whether by changing the dosage of those genes, we could have influence recombinations, for example, at the paracentromeric regions.
Okay, that's interesting. Well, thanks very much, Christoph, for talking to us today. So recombination is obviously very complicated, which makes it difficult to work on, but then it gives you a lot of extra stuff that you can do in the future as well. So it's a two-way street there, I suppose. So, yeah, thanks very much for talking to us, and we look forward to hearing more about this in the future. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.